Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Now, can everybody get their smartphone out? You guys got it? Now I want you to go to your Facebook. Well, everybody go to your Facebook. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to check in this morning at City Park Church. Okay? So can everybody check in this morning? What does that do for us? That shows all your friends and all your neighbors that you're at church this morning. So when they say, hey, I saw that you checked in at this church, you go to that church, it's an automatic open door for you to share about our church and what God is doing. A church I know in Florida has done this on a regular basis, and their church exploded just because of check-ins. Exploded. People were like asking questions. It created a stir. You'll see that I check in the morning. There's a few people that check in, but if we can like do this every Sunday, we can really make a powerful statement with our friends on social media. I've asked you guys to share things and like things that we put on the internet. Put them on your page. But I think the check-in is a really, really good God idea. And I'll share about that church. I'll put that on our Facebook page about that church and what happened when they checked in. Awesome. Stake your claim. Thank you for checking in. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate that. You guys see that we have these stakes up here. And you're probably wondering why, if this is your first time. Also have some permanent markers. Well, we got this inspiration from another pastor, a friend of ours, from Rhema Bible Church, that they do this Stake Your Claim Sunday every year. So I was like, yeah, that is really, really cool. Says, we're going to do that. So 3 years ago, we started it. Again, this is our third year. And it's all based off of the Oklahoma land run. And since I lived in Oklahoma for 7 years, I know you feel sorry for me. I live in Oklahoma 7 years, right? And Oklahoma is not pretty whatsoever, all right? But it makes up for it spiritually. Many great ministries, many churches, Oral Roberts University, Rhema Bible Training College, all the different churches, Willie George, and, you know, so many different churches there. Oklahoma City, there's so many things going on. But back on April 22nd, 1889, at 12 noon, they fired cannons. People lined up at the edge of Indian territory, and they raced towards property. They took stakes, and they claimed their pieces of land. It was all free. All you had to do was go stake it out, stake in, and go back to Texas. You had to stay there and defend it. Because unjust people would try to go and do what? Take your stake out or move your stakes over. Anybody ever have any line disputes, property line disputes? They can be a real bear, especially after somebody's built the fence, right? And so they had to fight for it. They had to stay there. There were actually stories of women who were actually involved in this. Most of the pictures you see of men, but there were actually women who did this. Their husbands stayed back, like in Texas or wherever they were from, and they went there to expand their territory and to find land for them to graze their cattle or to farm on. And they stayed there, you know, fighting for their land. And at many times it got violent. There was shooting going on. There was, you know, just this interior tribal wars going on, trying to maintain that land and stake their claim for that land and their future life, their future prosperity, their future family spirit. Maybe this morning you're claiming debt-free life, right? Maybe you're looking for a new home, like Mike's talked about. You know, they've had to fight for that. Anytime you've ever move forward, there's always going to be a fight. There's always going to be a battle. And anytime you progress forward in anything, the devil does not want you to move forward. He's going to try to stop you. He doesn't want you to to move. He doesn't want you to own. He doesn't want you to be healed. He doesn't want you to prosper. He'll leave you alone where you're at, but anytime you try to break barriers or break down walls, he's going to try to stop you, and there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight in the spirit. He's going to try to attack your mind. He'll try to attack your emotions. So this is not a gimmick today, okay? We did not acquire this wood from the Holy Land. We got it from Holy Home Depot. Not even Lowe's, right? Holy Home Depot. And basically what this is it's a point of contact for your faith this morning that says, this is what we're going to do together. We're going to write our dream. We're going to write our goal on this stake. And we're going to take this stake, and we're going to bring it home, and we're going to drive that thing in the front of our yard together as an act of faith. Somebody said, well, I don't want that in the front of my yard. Well, I don't care where you put it. You know, tape it to your refrigerator. I don't care. You know, put it where you can see it. Put it where you walk past it every day to remind you to stay in the fight for what you believe in God for. That's what it's all about. Because you'll be all fired up today because I'm firing you up to live in faith and to claim something in faith. But tomorrow is a different day when no one else is around. And the enemy comes and the lies come against you. Like they will, to send doubt your way concerning what you believe in God. For the moment you make your dream visible and someone can hear it, the moment you say your dream to other people, how many know the devil's listening as well? Because he wants to stop your dream, and he's going to try to come up with a strategic plan to stop you. Amen? So, let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to camp on the promises of God. We're going to stand on the promises of God. Joshua chapter 1, in verse 1, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, who was Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you, I love this, every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. So this was a promise 40 years in the making. It wasn't instantaneous. Because of the Israelites' disobedience and doubt and disbelief, many of them did not enter into the promised land. Only those who were 20 years old and younger, who were actually born in the promised land, they weren't born in Egypt. So he said, wherever you put your foot, even though I've promised you this whole land, you need to actively go in and take it. You've got to actively set your foot on the land. Now, there's something hugely spiritual about that because it's not just praying, it's doing. It's not just praying, it's going. Amen? You can sit around and pray all day, and you need to pray, and we need to believe God, and we're going to pray. But prayer will always be followed by action, putting action to your faith. See, inevitably, when you pray, God's going to ask you then to do something. I'm willing to pray, but are you willing to go and do that? Are you willing to follow through with this action? Because it's within that action that prayers get answered. It's within that step of faith that God begins to unveil how to fulfill your dream, how to move forward with your dream. Verse 4 says, your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a familiar scripture. Be strong and courageous because you Joshua will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Now, this was a promise from God. This morning, we're going to write something on our stake. Not just anything, it's a promise from God. What has God already placed in you? What are the dreams that, as you look at that dream and you look at that project that God has for you, that you can actually accomplish, let's say, in the next 12 months? What can you see God doing for you? And we're all at different levels concerning our walk with God, concerning our definition of prosperity. We're all different. It's all relative to where we've come from and what our own personal goals are. Not yet even prosperity or financial gain, which God wants to bless you with, but what about your health? What is your goal concerning your health? Concerning healing? What is your goal concerning this church as part of a team? Or what is your goal concerning a ministry that God has for you? Something that's been inside of you. Something that you've thought about for years. Are there steps that you need to take this year that seem a little bit out of reach, maybe even scary, that you're going to believe God to open up doors of opportunity to step into the things that you've been thinking about, you've been praying about, and perhaps you've been dreaming about for years? Maybe it's opening a business because you want God to bless you so you can be a giver in the kingdom of God and continue to bless the work of the church. Wouldn't it be nice if someday you could actually say, Pastor Bob, you don't need to take that Liberty offering for $15,000. I'm going to write you a check for that. You can use the rest of it you collect for something else for the church and for the expansion of the gospel. Amen? Are you out there? Wouldn't you love to do those kind of things? Maybe that's your goal. See, God calls some in ministry to directly preach the gospel. God calls others in the marketplace to build business to support those who want to preach the gospel. Whether it be the church, missionaries, building buildings, paying bills, buying equipment, doing the things that we need to do, and fulfilling the works of the Lord that God's asked us to do. The promises of God will come to pass. Now, that dream that we want you to write on that stake isn't something that's already happening or isn't something that you can do tomorrow in the natural. You know, you don't want to write anything easy on there because whatever is easy, you're probably already accomplishing in the flesh anyway. Well, maybe it's because of your education. You've already been there, done that, got the degree. It's easy for you this week to do. I'm talking about something that's bigger than you. Something that you cannot accomplish by yourself. You need divine intervention. You need God's assistance and God's help in this. You need favor from the city. You need permits. You know what I'm talking about? Building a building like this or renovating an old historic building like this. We needed favor from God. We needed favor from man. We needed permits. We needed breakthrough. Bigger. Remember when we first walked in this building and it had the ugly blue carpet and the blue everything and it was just nasty. And we walked in here and, you know, as a construction guy, I can see, okay, there's potential here. But on the other side, I saw a four-letter word and it was a curse word. It's called work, right? And I thought, oh my gosh, there's so much work to be had. And there were certain barriers that we had to walk through, certain walls that had to be broken down in order to acquire this building. And were we willing to take the steps of faith in order to do that? Were we willing to go through what we needed to go through and believe God for the divine connections and the favor with the city in order to break through? This building only had two parking spaces legally. You don't open a church with only two parking spaces. There's one, and they're right next to the building where we don't let you park. It's a fire lane. So we had found out that all the parking spaces in this building next door, that the previous owners had a written agreement with them, 19 spaces. But in order to, the calculated number of seats, in order to get permits to purchase this building and to call it a church, we technically needed 4 more parking spaces. 4 more. Now you look behind you and say, well, there's plenty of parking. Well, all this behind here that's brand new is owned by the park, owned by Gresham City. So we went to the city and the parks director and said, can you please give us permission, write us an agreement that on Sunday, nobody's there on Sunday except us, right? But on Sunday, that we can technically have 4 spaces. And his answer back to us was no. So, you know, the ups and downs of God projects, you know? It's like, oh, you're all excited, and all of a sudden, no, we can't buy it, you know? And then I in sharing with our real estate agent, he's like, okay. He was so angry because we had worked so hard. He had literally walked over from downtown and opened the doors of this building multiple times for people to walk through, for contractors. We had to get all of the bids for the whole renovation project in order to get the loan to purchase and renovate. It was one loan, the whole building together, and time that whole thing. So it was just a constant every day for 6 months, something going on, something that needed to be prayed for, something that needed to work through. There was days where I was so excited. There was other days I didn't even want to drive by here. I would avoid Powell, literally, because I don't want to see it again. I don't want to think about it again. You know, you're just like, it's done. I would go home and say, I'm done with this. And my forever positive wife would be like, no, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. We're going to have breakthrough. I'd be like, okay. And she just starts praying. She knew. Well, our real estate agent actually said, you know, the mayor used to work for us, worked for me. So I'm going to have lunch with him. Remember, favor with man, right? He sat down with the mayor. Now, our real estate agent had already lost multiple real estate, commercial real estate deals here in the city because of the overextending, you know, city ordinances. And they said, there's 2 cities here in this area that are the worst to work with. It's Lake Oswego and Gresham. 2 worst cities. I was like, great. And we're in one of them. So he sat down with the mayor, Mayor Bemis, and he said, hey, listen, this church needs an agreement on Sunday morning for 4 parking spaces from the city to park in the park. The mayor was visibly angry at his staff for denying the 4 spaces. He then went to the parks director and said, give them their spaces. Hallelujah. That's the only reason why. It took them, I don't know how long, like 2 months for the city lawyer to work up the documents. I'd be calling every day, where's the documents? Can we close in the building? Well, we're working on it. I'm like, man, you guys are worse than the federal government. I can get a passport quicker than this, right? My wife can get her citizenship quicker than this. But these are the kind of things. You look at the impossible things. Maybe there's a stopgap in something you believe in God for, and today we're going to break through. Are you out there? We're going to break through that wall. We're going to set our stake down. We are going to remind ourselves daily and speak the word of God over the vision that he's given us, and we are going to be determined. You guys out there? Determined to not give up. Determined to move forward. Determined to see the promises of God come to pass in our life. God provides worms for the birds of the air, but he does not shove those worms down the birds' throats. Literally, God has done his part. We must then lay claim and stand in faith to secure the promises of God. Here's a good story by Billy Graham. Billy Graham told this story. There was a man that went to heaven. And in heaven, he notices these huge warehouses. He asked God, what are these warehouses doing here with all this stuff? And God said, these are all the things that people prayed for, and then they gave up too quickly and never got them. Amen? Giving up too quickly. This stake is important. This stake is a visual aid to remind us to hold on. To remind us. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible. See, going to God without faith is like going to Walmart without money. Amen? You got to fight for it. You've got to be of the mentality, number one, you know that this is God's will for your life and this is what you believe in God for. This is my faith project. I believe once a faith project is done, you should pick another one up. You should always have some kind of faith project where you're activating the God of the possible to do the impossible. Because he wants to. He wants to prove to you that he's alive and he's working with you. He wants to speak to you. You've got to be of that mentality, I won't back down, back up, or give up. By faith, I'm laying hold of my future. I lay claim to new territory and bigger blessings. I lay claim to greater prosperity. I lay claim to God's best in my life. There is no such thing as faith without conviction and determination. So I want you to get passionate this morning. Because you know what? Faith actually has a voice. Huh. There's no such thing. And that voice, hallelujah. Faith has a voice. And that voice has passion behind it. You can tell when someone's passionate about something. Because they can't stop talking about it. And they won't stop talking about it. They can't shut up about it. Every time you're around them, that's all they ever talk about. It actually gets to be annoying. It's like, oh my gosh, is that what I'm going to talk about again? They're going to talk about that thing again. What they believe in God for, right? But that's what faith is. Faith is amazing. The Bible says we can't come to God without faith. It's what pleases him. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. This is what Jesus said. He said this, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them." Talking about speaking to the mountain. Speaking to the mountain that's holding you back. Whatever you say to that mountain. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Then it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." We talked about that last week, about how that forgiveness will stop from our prayers from being answered. So make sure you're clear with all people and situations. Make sure everything is clean and forgiven. And then begin to speak to your mountain. Speak to that mountain of debt. Speak to that mountain of sickness or whatever is in your way between you and the promises of God. Speaking, see, I think Christians are real good at praying, but they're not great at saying. We got to get good at saying. We got to get good at speaking. We got to stop speaking doubt. We got to start speaking faith. If it's a promise of God, what does this steak do? When you get up in the morning, you get dressed, you go out. You know, I help my wife out to the car. I bring her stuff out. Sometimes if it's cold, start her car. We go right past that steak. Every time you go past that steak, you know what? Out loud, just thank God for what's on it. I thank you, Lord, that my debt is taken care of. Thank you, Lord, that my credit card's paid off. Thank you, Lord, that my house is paid off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that I am healed. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, for the promise. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. And I activated with my words this morning. And then you come back home from work. It's been a bummer day. Go buy the steak again as you go inside your door. You look at that steak and you say out loud again, "I thank you, Lord God, your promises for me. That is what I'm believing you for, God. That is my promise. I receive it. I believe it. I speak it. I live it, and I thank you, Lord. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. I refuse to be poor. I refuse to be sick. I am going to believe God. I am believing God for the next level." If anyone says to that mountain, it's not God going to say it for you. It's you've got to say it. God has done everything he's ever going to do for you. Now it's our part. It's our turn. We speak to the mountain. We call things that aren't as though they are. We look at what's on that steak, and it's what's impossible with you in the natural, with your education, is possible with God. That's what goes on that steak. You need a car. You need something happening in your life. You need a new job. You need a raise. You need renovation in your home. You need a new kitchen. Whatever it is, that ministry that God has for you. We have a lady, her name is Wendy. She's starting a ministry in our church. We're so excited about it because the drug problem and the heroin problem here in Gresham is horrible. Horrible. And on Tuesday nights, beginning May 10th, she's first going to start a support group for parents whose kids are addicted. So if any of you are, you know, in that situation or know someone, please let us know. 7 o'clock, Tuesday night, May 10th, a support group for parents whose kids are addicted or have been addicted. She's a wealth of information and a source to help you to go through whatever you're going through. It's going to be Bible-based, Scripture-based, but it's also going to be a group of practical support, helping you to work through the system and helping you to work through rehab and resources and all the things that she's been attached to and has experience in herself. Amen? So, we've got some positive testimonies for you this morning. Are you ready? A couple of videos. Let's dim the lights and let's watch.
Ago, when we did the stake, we both wrote the same things on our sticks, but we weren't our stakes. We weren't looking at each other, so we didn't know what each other was writing. But we wrote the same thing: that we wanted a house. And we wanted total family restoration, both of which we have received. The house was a total blessing in the fact that we just came on it through a family friend. And we were able to get the house at a really good price. And the financing came through the VA, and it was actually came out to less than we were paying for a rental place. And now we have a place all of our own and one that we can use and have already used to bless other people. The total family restoration has taken place through some things that... that had occurred, and a family that has come back together and is stronger than ever. And we did all this by just putting this on our stakes, and we prayed about it constantly and just left it in God's hand for His timing. And He made it all happen.
First, did stake your claim. Previous 6 or 9 months before that, had nothing but car problems. And 6 months after that, we blew up one car, and the other car we have, we were constantly fixing something, putting it in the shop. When you stake your claim, we decided we were going to claim a new car, because that's what we really needed. Came up the next year when it was about time to do a stake your claim for the second year, and I remember Pastor Bob asking me, well, what'd you put on your stake? I told him, looking for a new car. And he asked me if we got it. I said, well, no, didn't get it. And being the good pastor he is, it's like, well, you know, just keep believing. It'll happen. And I guess on the, you know, what I was thinking is on the bright side is we spent less money on car repairs than we did the previous year. So, in a way, kind of worked out. So, anyway, second year, wrote down new car again because we didn't get it the first time. And not even 2 weeks after, my wife's grandfather shows up in our house and starts asking questions about could we use a new car, and if we had one, what would we do, etc., etc. And after answering all his questions, he drops the keys into our pocket and says, here, brand new car. So we got a brand new Dodge Caravan or Chrysler Town and Country, leather, nicest car I've ever owned, completely free. So then the second year, or like I said, we wanted to have a new car for that one. So afterwards, we started thinking, well, this is great, but I work up in Vancouver and using a lot of gas. So we asked God for an economical car this time. Tax write-off than what they could for selling the car, so they gave us another new car. And that one is a smaller, economical car that gets great gas mileage, is exactly what we needed. So long story short, within a year and a half, we asked God for a car and ended up with two cars. And just can't believe how good God is.
Awesome. Two cars. That is awesome. All right, Ben, can you come on up and play, buddy? You need to understand that the devil is a claim jumper. I'm not talking about the restaurant in Clackamas, although it has good food, right? He is a claim jumper. And the Bible teaches us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And so at this time, after that amazing test, I know there's a bunch of other testimonies out there. We are going to, I want ushers to come forward and help us. And we have a number of different permanent markers here, so we might need to share once someone's done. But we're just going to take a little bit of time. And if you guys all want to come up and get a steak, and once you're done with your marker, just ask if you guys just stand here and just help pass those out. That'd be great. Or just go down the aisle. Just pick that bucket up and just go down the aisle. And just pass them down the aisles. You can take one per family or you can take one per individual. Whatever you want to do. Maybe you need more than one because you got so much you want to write on there. God is looking for big thinkers and big prayers. So don't put little things on them. Don't put on there, well, I just need more energy. No, put on there, I want to be 100% healed. Don't put on there, I want a 45-cent raise. Come on now. Put on there, you want to manage the place. You want to be the boss. Maybe be the owner. Basically, go big or go home, all right? Go big or home, go home. Lay claim. So if you have a pen, you guys can just take some time. We'll take some time, wait till you're finished. I'm not going to ask you to share. Right now, the kids are downstairs doing the same thing. And they're going to come up and pray with us. Maybe it's a dream, a desire, a ministry, a goal. Basically, holding your feet to the fire. Holding your feet to the fire. I will not be guilty of having the heart of a finisher. I have a fighting spirit. The Bible says the violent take it by force. Meaning violent in the spirit realm. When David ran towards Goliath and said, "This day I'm going to separate your head from your shoulders." Standing on the word. I won't back down, back up, or give up. By faith, I lay hold of my future. I lay claim to new territory, to bigger blessings. I lay claim to greater prosperity, I lay claim to God's best in my life. Young people, teenagers, should be doing this. Should be having a stake. What's your dreams? What's your goals? Certain college you want to go to? Certain profession? God wants to open up doors for you to get into school. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, we cast off restraint. We just allow ourselves to do whatever. But a vision keeps us in check, keeps us focused, keeps us pure, because we want the favor of God in our lives. We want God's best and God's blessings. Rich got two cars. He needs to believe for a fleet of cars. Start a rental business. It's the favor of God on his life, right? You got one house. Maybe you need a rental house. Investment property. Well, what we're writing on our stake is something, is the third year we're putting on there. Believe in God still to sell one of our investment properties so we can build somewhere else that will have a greater return for us. And in years past, it was easy. But right now, that breakthrough is the devil's fighting us all the way. Because he knows that if we build that investment property, it'll be worth, you know, much more than the ones we currently own. He doesn't want us to move forward. And we're determined. Determined to move forward. Determined to leave an inheritance for our kids. Amen? I was wondering what this building is worth. We were thinking about it in our economy now. And it's got to be over $1 million. You know? But we only paid $400,000. We only owe about $475,000. So we have like 50% equity in this place. Pretty awesome. All right. Anybody else need more time? Still thinking? Or... Okay, if you're done, if you stand up, if you need more time, just keep writing. Okay, I'm going to ask if you come forward. Husband and wife, hold hands together. Just fill up the front. This is my wife's stake. All organized German style. Hallelujah. All right, so couples hold hands. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Now, before we pray, just don't leave this in your car, okay? Take it home and drive it somewhere where you're going to see it every day, okay? Together. Do it together as an act of faith, okay? So, Father God, we thank you for your promises in our life. Thank you for what you have spoken to us about, what you've placed inside of our heart, and you've quickened us concerning our future, concerning future ministry, future things that we need, future relationships, our future health. Father, we thank you that as we've written down plainly on these stakes, you, Lord, you said to write the vision and make it plain, so we're fulfilling that scripture. So we've written it down, we've made it plain for the world to see. And by faith, we thank you for those promises. And we ask you in Jesus' name. Lord, you said if we don't ask, we don't have. So we first ask you in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these promises. Now, you guys ask him specifically right now. Tell him what those promises are. Go ahead. Speak those out. Hallelujah, Father God. Praise you. Thank you for the promises, God. Thank you for soul property. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for increase in church. Thank you for increase, Lord. Thank you for children saved, youth saved, adults saved. Thank you for the growth, Lord. Thank you for impact in our community. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that everything we put our hand to prospers. It's blessed. Lord, we specifically ask all these things. You know what we need of God. Lord, you said if we abide in you and your word abides in us, we'll ask what we will and it will be given unto us. So, Lord, we continue to abide, continue to put you first, continue to be faithful in the small things. And you said you would make us ruler over many. So we thank you for increase. Thank you for your trust. And we praise you for that. Lord, as we're stewards of what we have, I thank you that you increase our stewardship and give us more because of our faithfulness, Lord. Proven to you that we're able to handle what we have already and keep you first in the midst of it. Hallelujah. So say this after me, church. Say, I won't back down, back up, or give up. By faith, I lay hold of my future. I lay claim to new territory, to bigger blessings. I lay claim to greater prosperity. I lay claim to God's best in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on now, shout to him. Lord, we worship you. Hallelujah! Glory to you, O Lord. Come on, act like it's done. Act like he's heard your prayer. Act like it's so. Hallelujah. We speak to the mountains. We call those things that aren't as though they are. We thank you, Lord. We activate the God of the possible to the impossible. As we step out in faith and believe you, Lord, for your promises to come to pass in our lives. Thank you for the children and their promises, for the young adults, their promises.
And some of those promises might be relationships. And relationships is always a process, you know that. Yeah. There's seasons in the relationships, and there's sometimes hardships and misunderstandings and communication problems. Relationships can be the most important thing in your life. They are, with God and with one another. But they can be a process. So I encourage you to trust the process. And do the steps for reconciliation and love well and trust God in it. Especially if you deal with broken people or people who are addicted. It takes the anointing to break a yoke. It takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of strength. Sometimes love has to be tough. But I encourage you to go for it and believe it and speak to the mountain and speak to the problems. And as my husband said, take in the land because God wants to restore your relationships as well. It's maybe easier sometimes to believe for a business deal, but we are peoples, and we need people in our life. And so believe God for those kind of things that we can't see. You know, they're not material, but they're so, so important. And just believe that this is a year of restoration of family, with family members, with friends, with ministry aspects. You know, believe God because He's good and He wants to give you that breakthrough. So don't give up. Stay strong.
Sometimes you have faith for finances. Some people they're in that realm and they're just financial blessing just comes their way. But perhaps you're struggling in a relationship area, loneliness. Direct your faith towards that. Depression, whatever it is, direct your faith towards healing. Maybe you're good at believing God for health and healing, and you're weak in the area of believing God for finances. Go home, look up scripture, get God's word on it, begin to meditate on it, begin to talk about it, begin to speak it over your checkbook, your finances, your investments, and your business, and have breakthrough in that area. Concerning financial breakthroughs, sometimes God will have you give above and beyond what you think you should give. He'll give you a number for Liberty Offering in order to experience breakthrough. So if you only give in Liberty Offering, you know, $300, maybe your breakthrough is $500 this year. Doing something above and beyond the norm. If you look at what you've given in the past, why have you only given $300 the past 10 years? If you want breakthrough, sometimes there has to come a breakthrough offering in order to break through where you're currently at financially. So consider that. Consider that. You guys know the Azusa Street revival in California? What's the guy, Lou? Lou Engels was the leader of that. I don't know if you watched that on the internet. Do you know in order to pay for the stadium there in Los Angeles, he sold his house. He sold his house to pay for the stadium to hold that Azusa revival for a kingdom's sake. That's crazy. He'll get it back. God will bless him. But willing to do whatever it takes in order to see breakthrough happen and see the vision of God come to pass. I'm not saying sell your house. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying whatever God tells you, there's sometimes it's a sacrificial thing that it doesn't make sense. And if you told anybody else about it, they think you're crazy. But you know, this is what I'm going to do next week. This is what I'm going to see happen next week. It's got to be God. It's got to be a word from God. Okay? But you know inside, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm believing God for breakthrough. See it happen. Believe in God for favor. Amen? You guys are blessed people, and I'm going to drive by your house, make sure those are all in your yards. Kid, turn to somebody, give them a hug, give them a high five, bless them. Thank you so much for coming. See you Wednesday night. See you next week for Liberty Offering.